Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Welcome back to another week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart with Brian Myers in studio. And, of course, we got Ron Carlson, who's keeping the wheels on the bus.
Ron, the fader Carlson.
Right, right. He's the one who's does the magic behind the scenes, making sure this show gets out every week, and of course,
so
the podcast.
He's the one you got to blame.
Yeah, if things sound right. Badly, it's Ron's fault.
That's so. Right.
Presto.
Anyway, you know, even though it's, we should just have like April Fool's weekend. I think we should just extend it into the weekend.
Boy, there's a good follow-up line with that is following Fools. We're all here assembled. Can you equate that? I don't know.
So what you're saying is there should be an April Fool's season.
Absolutely.
Not a day, a season.
I used to love April Fool's when I was a kid, because I had always, I got to figure out something, you know, I'll fool my mom. I haven't had a chance to do that yet, but I always, every, you know, it was always, hey mom, I failed a test. She would believe it. Every time. Probably because it's not outside the realm of possibility that I'd fail a test, I guess. But, I remember going to school one year wearing a sling. Just you know, nothing was wrong with my arm, but I wanted people to...
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
So, you know, some things, some political April Fool's things I've seen that I've actually tweeted out myself. And I'd love to just extend it through into the weekend. That would be awesome. But like John Kasich predicts that Duke will win a brokered Final Four.
That's good.
Yeah.
And wonder what Coach K will say about that.
Right, right. And then Donald Trump discovers that he is not a natural born citizen and sues himself.
And wins.
And wins, yes.
And wins.
So anyway, I enjoy it. It's fun.
Well, look. I am in a situation where I can't really celebrate it in the same way that you can, because April 1st is actually my wedding anniversary.
Ah, what? That's right.
38 years, pal. But here's the thing.
Why do you guys do that?
Because I had a warped sense of humor. But the thing of it is, I had to make this solemn promise to my bride all those years ago that I would never, you know, go over the top with this April Fool's thing relative to our anniversary.
Ah.
So I really have not done a lot of crazy stuff since then.
Well, not to her, but you should be.
At least on April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
Well, you know, but everybody else still done plenty of crazy things.
Everybody else should be fair game.
That's a good point.
So, yeah.
Anyway, happy anniversary, sweetie. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I saw that she shared that on Facebook too. So I was going to say something to you if you didn't bring it up. But yeah, well, happy 38 years. That's a huge accomplishment.
Well, it is for her.
How did she do it? I'm going to have to ask her.
We were talking off the air about people needing therapy. That poor woman does.
Oh wow!
After 38
yeah.
years with me. She needs an award, really.
Absolutely.
Maybe a Congressional Medal of Honor.
Yeah, we might need therapy at home, too, because my son's going to be moving out. He and a friend found a house to rent, so Cheryl's naturally having a hard time with this.
Yeah, I saw her post some stuff on Facebook. She sounds like she's struggling with the notion of maybe being an empty nester one of these days.
Yeah, that's going to happen pretty quick, because Kelvy will be going off to college this fall in Hannibal. Even, you know, she just obviously finished up her associate's degree, but stayed at home doing that. And Lily, you know, is 16, so it's not going to be too long. So, yeah, it's going to go quick, I think.
Cheryl, it's going to be okay. Trust me, there's times when you're going to think, I'm an empty nester. Yes!
Yeah, yeah. Well, there are some times just with our kids being older, it's like, hey, everybody's got something to do. Hey, we could go out on a date tonight. awesome.
Yeah.
And so,
feature that. A couple of decades have gone by, and for the first time, we have some freedom.
Absolutely.
I suppose that's enough of this nonsense.
Yeah.
What do we got going on the VIP line?
Well, we have a very special guest, Dr. Michelle Critella. She's the president of the American College of Pediatricians. Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts, Dr. Critella.
Hi, good morning, and it's great to be here.
I was trying to think of a good segue into introducing you, but I couldn't get that done. So.
Yeah, that's fine. You did all right.
All right.
Well, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. And basically, American College of Pediatricians put out a statement on gender ideology. Basically, in a nutshell, says gender ideology harms children. Before we get into that, I want you to explain to our listeners who may have never heard of your organization, what is the American College of Pediatricians?
Sure. The American College of Pediatricians, we are a national healthcare organization of pediatricians and other healthcare providers who specialize in the care of infants, children, and adolescents. And we are a relatively young organization. We did break away from the American Academy of Pediatrics in 2002 because we have found that organization essentially sacrificed sound science and what is best for children by following political correctness. And so what distinguishes us is that we look at the social science and medical evidence and find that it supports the fact that our patients, pediatric patients, begin at conception, mm-hmm. that pro-life and the natural family, natural marriage is definitely the best for children. So that is really what distinguishes us from the larger group.
Okay, you said it's a new organization. When was it founded?
We were founded in 2002.
Okay. You said that. I just totally skipped mm-hmm. it. What was your background before that? Obviously, you're a pediatrician, but how long have you been a pediatrician and where?
Sure. My background is that I am currently no longer in clinical practice. Mm-hmm. I'm full-time directing the college, the American College of Pediatricians, but I was a practicing general pediatrician for 17 years, practiced in the states of Virginia, Connecticut, and Rhode Island, and with a special interest in adolescent medicine and particularly dealing with issues of sexuality. I also served on the board of the Alliance for Therapeutic Choice, which is a national mental health organization that supports therapy for minors and adults troubled by unwanted homosexual attraction and gender identity issues.
Yeah, we recently
served on their board for 10 years as well.
We recently had a bill. It didn't go anywhere, but some Democrats in the Iowa Senate wanted to make that illegal in Iowa. And I know that's probably happening elsewhere as well. Brian, you want to jump in?
Yes, Dr. Critella, what kind of response did you get from the larger organization when your organization was founded in 2002? Did the long knives come out real quick?
What you have to understand about the larger organization, they've been around for 80 years, and they are funded by Big Pharma.
Ah.
So they have, you know, we are like typical conservative groups that are trying to stand for the scientific truth. We have a shoestring budget. They have billions and billions of dollars. So they did not really take much notice of us. However, they know we exist, and they know that we are out here because as political correctness gets more and more severe and more tyrannical, people are hungering for a voice that will say, no, here's what science says, and lo and behold, it matches with traditional common sense. So yes, increasingly they are well aware of us, and particularly with the release of the gender statement.
You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we have Dr. Michelle Curtella of the American College of Pediatricians on the line with us. This is Shane Vanner with Brian Myers. Dr. Curtella, in your statement, kind of looping back to the statement that your organization released, your organization says, a transgender conditioning of children is child abuse. That seems to be a pretty bold statement. Why do you think believe that?
Okay, the first thing we got to make sure we understand the issue. The problem is mainstream medicine is, I guess, like a lot of things, run by a minority of physicians or those in power. You know, like anywhere, like anything else. And what we have been seeing is in a very short period of time, maybe over the last 5 years, is a proliferation of these gender clinics across the country. And with no medical evidence, these physicians and psychiatrists, pediatricians, have changed the standard of care so that when a young child, a pre-pubertal child, believes they are not the sex they were born, instead of encouraging the family and child to go into therapy and find out the underlying cause of that false belief, they are now, actually all of society is being told, you know, even like in schools, but that we are being told that families and all of society should affirm this young child's false belief and then put this child on puberty blockers so that they don't go through puberty.
Yeah.
And to supposedly give them time to figure out what they really are. And then when, lo and behold, you don't allow them to go through the normal healthful process of puberty and they do want to go to the cross-sex hormones, well, putting a teenager on cross-sex hormones makes them permanently infertile.
Okay, so hang on just a second.
The whole process from a medical standpoint is just outrageous that you would take a child that young with confused thinking and essentially go along with their mental confusion.
Okay, but this is gender clinic. What's a gender clinic? And you say there are a lot of these, and this is what they do.
Yes, this is
a gender clinic.
This is what they do, and
beam me up, Scotty.
Yeah, Dr. Norman Speck out of Boston Children's set up the first one some years ago. And again, without medical evidence, they just started practicing this way with families. And to understand, do not, and no one should misunderstand this, there is true suffering here. These children, they may have true depression, anxiety, and be expressing that as I'm in the wrong body. But what we need to do and what had been happening for decades is that the team, the medical team, psychiatrists, social workers, et cetera, would come together and try and figure out, well, what's the underlying process that's going on? How can we help the child connect with their true biological sex? Over the last 5 years, again, without any medical evidence, essentially activists said, you know what, we're just going to experiment. We're just going to change the paradigm, and we're going to go with it. We're going to tell families, go ahead, encourage your child's fantasy or confused thinking. Let your little boy dress like a girl, grow out his hair, change pronouns, change names. And you know what? Encourage the school system to do the same. And then these doctors were saying, oh, look, the child's happy because, you know, he feels better when he's treated as a girl. He feels that this is good. Well, no, you haven't figured out what the underlying problem is. So how is it good?
Right.
Basically treating
the symptoms rather than the underlying cause.
The They're not looking at where the symptoms are coming from. Well, and when people started bringing this up, now you actually have these gender clinic experts saying, oh, no, 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 no. It's not their false thinking. It's not mental illness. No, what they actually feel and think about their gender, well, that's what it really is.
Ah.
It's totally separate from their biological body.
So this is really more about political correctness and social construct
this
than it is
ideology.
About science. Okay.
Yeah.
Basically, we're almost out of time already.
I am so sorry.
No, that's fine.
It's truly crazy because we're essentially saying, you know, cooperate with a child's crazy thoughts. Chemically castrate them with puberty blockers and then sterilize them when they're older so they can continue to impersonate the opposite sex with lifelong chemicals and some mutilating surgeries.
With the brief time we have left, for parents who may be struggling with a child who are having these thoughts, what would you as a pediatrician recommend?
It's getting harder and harder to find publicly, but what particularly with the release of this statement, there are still therapists who are willing to work with families and help them figure out what's going on and to alter family dynamics. Sometimes, and people will hear me say that and say, oh my gosh, you're blaming the parents. And I always say, no, it's not like that. Many times a child, perceptions, psychology has so much to do with perceptions. There could be something going on in the family that is not overtly wrong, not overtly negligent, that the child is just misperceiving as rejection and shame.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be found and worked with. But yes, there are definitely cases in which these children are suffering horrendous abuse within the family or extended family.
Dr. Curtella, thank you so much. This has been great.
Thank you very much, Dr. Curtella.
You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
Welcome back, Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance
you need.
So, that was a great interview last segment.
It was.
And we're going to have her back.
We are definitely going to have to have
because,
her
back. Yeah, that was eye-opening, because I've never heard, and you'd never heard of gender clinics.
Gender clinics.
I don't think we've got those in Iowa. Somebody email me at shane@caffeinatedthoughts.com if I am not correct in that assumption, because I'd be interested to hear if we do have things like that here in Iowa. Moving along, there was the next contest basically in the GOP race is going to probably be an ongoing thing until we have a nominee we'll talk about anyway, is the state of the GOP nomination race. Wisconsin primary is going to be April 5th.
The state of the race is in utter confusion.
Absolutely, as you're going to see from these clips we're going to play you. Wisconsin has 42 delegates. It's
winner take all
by congressional district. So you could, theoretically, you could,
what does that mean?
It's determined by the, if I understand this correctly, it's determined by the vote in the each congressional district. So it's winner take all of those. Because the delegates are apportioned by district. So if say, I don't know how many districts.
So if you win a particular district, you get that delegate.
Right.
Okay.
Now, they probably have, no, I don't think they actually have statewide delegates. I'll have to look in Wisconsin. Maybe we'll talk more about this as we break down the results last week or next week. But, yeah, it's going to be a big contest. Anyway, we'll talk more about that third segment. I wanted to get into something that occurred this week. CNN hosted a town hall in Wisconsin with Anderson Cooper. And he asked Trump, or actually, no, he didn't ask Trump, but a voter in the audience asked Trump what he thought the top three functions of federal government should be. Donald Trump said something very interesting. Go ahead and play clip.
This is a fairly long clip here.
Robert Keitlinger, he's retired from the U.S. Army after serving in Iraq and Afghanistan. He's now a student at Marquette University, and he says he's on the side. Welcome. Robert?
Good evening, Mr. Trump. In your opinion, what are the top three functions of the United States government?
Say it again.
In your opinion, what are the top three functions of the United States government?
Well, the greatest function of all by far is security for our nation. I would also say healthcare. I would also say education. I mean, there are many, many things. But I would say the top three are security, security, security. We have to have security for our country so that we can continue to exist as a country. We are in danger. Thousands and thousands of people are infiltrating our country. We don't know who they are. There is a very vicious world. We're living in a very vicious world. And we're doing something that is against a lot of very smart people's wishes. I can tell you it's totally against my wishes.
So top three, you're saying security?
Security. I would say, I say all top three are security. But healthcare, education would be probably three. That would be top. And then you can go on from there. But the military and the secure country,
we'll
so that we have a country.
Stop there.
Believe me.
Okay. Security, 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 because he couldn't think of, no. It's like, if you list that as your top three, that means you can't think of anything else, really. But
maybe.
I get that it's his top priority, as it should be.
And I'm assuming he means defense as well as,
right,
as domestic,
right,
national security.
Yeah, he could, you know, he could have expanded on that. He could have said, you know, border
yeah,
border
you're
security,
right, you're right,
national defense,
yep,
you know, things like that. But he did. But then he mentions, whether it's in his top three, I don't want to haggle with people over this, whether it's his top three or just his list of top priorities, he listed education.
And healthcare.
And healthcare.
Yeah.
Two things that are unconstitutional. Somebody hand Mr. Trump a constitution. The man never talks about the Constitution ever. Have you ever heard him even mention the Constitution?
That's a good point. I don't know that I have.
I can't say I have. If I have, it was such an obscure reference, but it's not a theme he discusses.
Forgive me, Shane. Did the questioner... I've already forgotten how the question was framed, but was it priorities or were these roles for the government?
Three functions.
And he said,
okay,
United States government, but that I interpret that to mean federal. And, you know.
Okay. Well, yeah, it would seem to me that if you're the GOP front runner, it's probably not a good idea to make one of your top three healthcare.
Right.
Relative to the function,
well,
of the federal government.
And, you know, some of my friends who are in the Common Core movement,
brother,
Stop Common Core movement, it's like, he says he's against Common Core, but he just said education is a priority for the federal government, which is anathema,
yep,
to those of us who are fighting Common Core. And it's like, how, I know there are Common Core, anti-Common Core people supporting him, and I'm just like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
All right, clip two.
Didn't he early on in his campaign say that Obamacare was a disaster?
Oh, he says disaster, so, but he kind of likes, you know, the single payer option.
Yeah,
he's been all over the map on most issues except the wall.
But how do
He'll
you say?
Build a wall.
How do you say on the one hand Obamacare is a disaster, and then turn right around and make a statement like that one?
I have no idea.
Oh well,
I just don't want to get inside his head to figure that out.
Well, we could spend another 10 years just trying to figure out how it is that he's able to say these things and people somehow just let it go. I can't figure it out.
It is fascinating. Trump was also asked about Heidi Cruz, and I have to give props to Anderson Cooper for sticking it to him on this one.
Saying that you were going to spill the beans about Heidi Cruz, you retweeted an unflattering picture of her next to a picture of your wife.
I thought it was a nice picture of Heidi. I thought it was fine.
Come on.
I thought it was fine. She's a pretty woman.
You're running for president of the United States.
Excuse me. I didn't start it.
Okay, that's,
I didn't start it.
But sir, with all due respect, that's the argument of a five-year-old.
I didn't start it. No, it's not the argument.
Yeah, the argument of a five-year-old is he started it.
You would say that. That's the problem with our country.
Every parent knows a kid who says he started it.
Excuse me. No.
All right, we don't really need to listen more about that.
Exactly.
He nailed it.
But that,
he nailed it.
Anderson Cooper, I don't agree with Anderson Cooper probably on a lot of things, but he is so right. And I hear Trump supporters parroting this. And I said, you know what? Even if Cruz was involved in that Facebook ad, which we talked about last week, which he wasn't, it's not okay for Trump to go ahead and attack Cruz's wife. That's people who think that's just that's all right. It's like you must have forgot what you learned growing up, because that's certainly not something I was taught.
And Cooper is exactly right. That is exactly what children say.
Right. Right.
So that's what they always say.
Absolutely.
It's perfect. He nailed him.
Yep. Ted Cruz was asked if he would support the GOP nominee. That's clip three.
More than 6 months ago, you pledged to support the Republican nominee. When things started getting rough with Donald Trump, you said you were going to stick with that pledge because you had given your word. I saw an interview with my colleague Sunland Sarfati, I think it was just yesterday. You said you're not in the habit of supporting people who attack your wife and attack your family. Do you still stand by the pledge to support whoever the nominee, even if it's Donald Trump?
Well, Anderson, as you mentioned, what I said is true. I'm not in the habit of supporting someone who attacks my wife and attacks my family. I think that is going beyond the line. I think our wives, I think our kids should be off limits. They don't belong in the attacks. And listen, I'm not an easy person to tick off. But when you go after my wife, when you go after my daughters, that does it. And I think I want this race to stay focused on policy and issues and solutions to the real problems facing America. That's where I'm going to stay focused. But if other candidates don't, I think that's beyond the pale.
So I just have to follow
up. All right,
up.
We're going to...
If Donald Trump...
Anyway, he didn't say no, but it doesn't seem very likely he would.
At least, it's hard to imagine.
At least not publicly, anyway. Trump was asked the same question. Go ahead and play clip four.
More than 6 months ago, you pledged to support the Republican nominee, whoever that may be. A lot has changed since then. It sounded, when I was pressing Senator Cruz on it, sounded like he was saying he'd have a hard time supporting somebody who went after his wife.
Honestly, he doesn't have to support me. I'm not asking for support.
I want the people's support. Do you continue to pledge whoever the Republican nominee is?
No, I don't anymore. Look,
you don't?
No, we'll see who it is.
You won't promise to support the Republican nominee?
And he was essentially saying the same thing. Let me just tell you, he doesn't have to support me. I have tremendous support
right now
from the people.
I love it. He doesn't have to support me, assuming. The question is, would you still support the GOP nominee? I mean, okay, it's optimistic talk, which we expect from candidates, but it's a little premature. And then there's been a story, National Enquirer published a story that Ted Cruz was involved in five different affairs, and Cruz was asked about that. Let's go ahead and play clip five.
It's obviously been a very rough and tumble week between you and Donald Trump. A salacious story about you was published in National Enquirer. You say Donald Trump, the people around him, were responsible for planting that story. Do you have any proof of that?
Well, sure. The story on its face quoted one person on the record, Roger Stone. Roger Stone.
Former advisor to
Donald. Roger Stone has been Donald Trump's chief political advisor. He planned and ran his presidential campaign, and he's been his hatchet man. He spent 40 years as a hatchet man. But not only that, the head of the National Enquirer, a guy named David Pecker, is good friends with Donald Trump.
But you don't know for a fact that Donald Trump planted that story.
Of course I do. When his good friend, you know, the National Enquirer in its history has never endorsed a presidential candidate until Donald Trump. And now David Pecker. Look, Donald Trump suggested David Pecker, the head of the National Enquirer, should take over Time magazine. Who in their right mind should suggest the head of the National Enquirer should take over Time magazine?
He's been very tough against Donald.
So, any, you know, is there a direct tie? Is there absolute proof? No. What I said in my article about it this week was that you can't prove that Trump knew about the story, that he planted it, but you can definitely prove that Trump supporters have. Now, this story has been shopped around. It's been expanded. And this is nothing new to politics. Marco Rubio had these rumors swirling around about him as well that I thought were just as unfounded.
Actually.
Yeah. There's a reason mainstream media don't publish these things, because there's no evidence. And matter of fact, two of the people who are willing to go on the record that were identified as being his mistresses said this is absolutely not true. So, you know, it's something to think about. This is, and I see Trump supporters constantly pushing this story. Is this really where we want politics to go? This is politics of personal destruction, and it's sleazy, and it needs to stop.
Well, this entire campaign has been a visit to the toilet bowl.
Absolutely.
It really has.
Absolutely. By the way, you're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we're just kind of opining about the state of the race here. One last
hustle on
clip,
this one.
Yeah. One last clip I want to play is Trump was interviewed by Chris Matthews this week, and they discussed abortion.
Against, I am pro-life, yes.
What is ban? How do you ban abortion? How do you actually do it?
Well, you know, you'll go back to a position like they had, where people will perhaps go to illegal places.
Yeah.
But you have to ban it.
Ban it, they go to somebody who flunked out of medical school.
Are you Catholic?
Yes, I think I
how do you feel about the Catholic Church's position?
I accept the teaching authority of my church on moral issues.
But do you know their position on abortion?
Yes, I do.
And do you concur with that position?
I concur with their moral position, but legally, I get to the question. Here's my problem.
But let me ask you, but what do you say about...
It's not funny.
Your church? Yeah, it's really not a funny thing. What do you say about your church? They're very, very strong.
They're allowed to, but the churches make their moral judgments, but you running for president of the United States will be chief executive of the United States. Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah, there has to be some form.
10 years?
I don't
what?
Know. That I don't know. That
well, why
I don't
not?
Know. I don't
you
know.
You take positions and everything else.
I do take positions and everything else. It's a very complicated position.
So, anyway, he then released a statement saying, oh, no, I don't believe that, and the woman's victim in this case, as is her life in the womb. So, basically, he took three different positions in the course of one day. One where he supported punishment for the woman, two where it's too complicated of an issue, he can't really discuss it, and then three, oh, she's the victim. So anyway, there's Donald Trump on abortion for you. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinate Thoughts Radio. Caffeinate Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give him a call at 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org. Well, it's time for our news rundown. We mentioned the Wisconsin primary a little bit last segment. Again, just a reminder, the Wisconsin Republican primary, and I believe also the Democrat primary, will be held April 5th. It's kind of the next big contest. We've had a little bit of lag time in between contests, so that's probably good for the candidates and campaigns, I suppose. Get to take a breath, actually get to do some real campaigning and do some fundraising if they need to. 42 delegates are up for grabs in the Republican side. It's winner take all by district. Right now, it looks like this is Cruz's contest to lose in Wisconsin from the polling I'm seeing. Real Clear Politics basically states that Cruz has a 3.8% average lead, 36.5 to Trump's 32.7, Kasich 21%. But the last two of the last three polls show Cruz up by 10. Public policy polling, which is rarely accurate, has him up by 1. There's one outlier poll by Optimus. I'd never heard of them before, but they actually had Trump and Kasich both beating Cruz. In a tight three-way race, and I'm just saying that's not happening.
Did you see where Kasich is suggesting that they should, that all the other candidates should coalesce behind him?
I think he's nuts.
I think we've gone into the delusional factor here.
I'm like, dude, you have 143 delegates. Now there was a poll in Pennsylvania that shows him surging in Pennsylvania. I got to check it out. He might be on the ballot now, but there was actually a challenge to him even being on the ballot because his campaign actually did miss the deadline to get on the ballot. But I think the Rubio campaign challenged them, and I think they dropped it. So he's probably on now, even though technically he shouldn't be. Well, if you can't, or if you're not well enough organized to get on the ballot on time, I don't know where he thinks he's going to be able to actually mount a decent challenge. And here's the thing, too. So far, Arizona, he came in fourth out of a three-man race.
Yeah, I mean, the guy, other than his home state, I have never understood what he was doing. Why is Kasich still in this race?
He lost to Cruz in Michigan, in the Rust Belt. He lost to Cruz in Illinois, mm-hmm. another state that he could have beat Cruz in, and he didn't.
But he wins his home state. So what?
Right.
You can't even a big state like his. Okay, Ohio, big, no question.
66 delegates. Yep.
But that's not enough to get you anywhere, and he's never won anywhere else.
No, he won't even win in a. He won't win a contested. Unless he somehow gets all the delegates in a contested convention to vote toward him in a second or third ballot, because basically,
I don't see that happening.
Unless they radically change the rules, he's not even going to be on the first ballot in the convention. Because right now you got to win the majority of delegates in 8 states, Rule 40. And I'm sure they're going to change that. They'll probably lower that number. Whether he makes that threshold or not, I don't know. We'll see. But I doubt he will.
All right, tell us about this deal with Trump risking his South Carolina delegates.
Okay, basically, because we listened to the clip last segment, Trump saying that he no longer will abide by the pledge. Right. The reason he made that pledge is because South Carolina for decades have required GOP delegates in order to win all of the delegates, to have the delegates, you actually have to make a pledge that you'll support the GOP nominee. So he could actually lose 50 delegates as a result of the statement.
And if things tighten up between he and Cruz, those 50 delegates could be critical.
Right. And right now, delegate count, you look at that, you got Trump has 736 delegates. Cruz has 463. Kasich has 143, still behind Rubio, who has 173. And Rubio is actually making steps to keep them all bound on the first ballot. So I'm not sure who that helps exactly. But he's trying to make sure Trump doesn't win any of them. Because some states actually have a rule that if a candidate suspends their campaign, those delegates are actually free agent delegates. But a candidate can write to the state party and ask that they remain bound. And generally speaking, they'll abide by that. And he's doing that.
What's the thought process relative to Rubio's delegates? I mean, are people thinking that the lion's share of those would ordinarily go to Cruz? Or?
Well, I'm thinking right now, for instance, in Louisiana, it looks like, you know, Cruz could pick up Rubio's delegates. It looks like Cruz is going to pick up the unbound delegates in Louisiana. He's actually going to come away from with more delegates in Louisiana than Trump has, even though Trump won the primary, and Trump's whining about it. But it's like Cruz is following the rules,
right?
And this is kind of like this was like how a bunch of establishment people whined about Ron Paul picking up all the delegates in Iowa, even though Rick Santorum won the caucus in 2012. Well, if you weren't organized to to get the delegates sent to county and then the district and the state convention, that's shame on you.
Yep.
Everybody who's privy to the same rules. So that's what's happening there.
Well, speaking of the Donald, what's this about Gallup having him at the most ridiculous levels of unfavorability amongst
right.
women known to mankind?
Well, and this goes to that literally, Donald Trump will be the single would have the worst favorability rating of any GOP candidate in all time. We couldn't possibly pick a worse candidate, Donald Trump, to run in a general election.
Even Romney?
Even Romney.
Romney, he sucks. Hey.
So basically, Donald Trump's image among U.S. women, according to Gallup, tilts strongly negative with 70% of women. Listen to that again. 70% of women holding an unfavorable opinion, and 23%, only 23% have a favorable opinion of him. You cannot win a general election with numbers like that.
I think the 23% is probably something, it's an anomaly in the polling.
Possibly. Possibly. It probably encompasses all of his Republican support among women. It's insane that they think they could actually win a general election because, you know, he is winning all the polls. Not really. Last 50 general election head-to-head matchup polls he's had against Hillary Clinton, I think he's won like two of them. So this man is, you know, they're just insane. This is the worst candidate we could possibly nominate.
You got about a minute and a half here, buddy.
Yeah. So let's just skip over that one story. That I clipped for. Go to the last story here. Transgender laws in Washington causing problems.
Oh, this is according to ABC News. The decision to allow a transgender 45-year-old college student. Let me repeat that. Transgender 45-year-old college student who identifies as a woman but has male genitalia to use the women's locker room has raised a fracas amongst parents and faith-based organizations who say children as young as 6 years old use the locker room. This is at the Evergreen College in Olympia, Washington. It's shared with the Capital High School Swim Club and a children's swim academy, along with the college students at Evergreen.
He's a 45-year-old college student.
Right.
And the allegation is that this guy's been wandering around buck naked. And of course, there's no problem with that according to the law. And there's some people there that aren't happy.
Well, according
go figure.
Yeah, it used to be you would be cited for, you know, public lewdness or something along those lines.
But this is a locker room.
But he's transgender, so it's okay. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
You can't afford to turn the other cheek, but you need to negotiate with the other party. How do you deal shrewdly without abandoning your Christian virtues? I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Maybe haggling is distasteful for you because you act less Christian, and you see the other party as one to be conquered. Admittedly, not characteristics consistent with showing unconditional love to your neighbor. But consider this. Focus on the stewardship responsibilities you have as a manager or leader. Responsibility for resources and love for those under your care are wholesome motivations. And concerning your neighbor, consider the golden rule. You want to deal with someone you trust, so set the stage by acting like someone the other party can trust by focusing on the Christian virtues that build it. If you need help with a negotiation, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or visit online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
And welcome back to our last segment of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. You realize we do blog, too. Check us out at CaffeinatedThoughts.com. Subscribe to our emails. The sign-in, the subscription box is right on the website. Check us out at CaffeinatedThoughts.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Anyway, we just appreciate it because that way you don't miss an update. You stay connected. And we can hear from you. You know, you could tweet at us. Leave a comment on our Facebook page, and of course, email us back when you get those emails in your inbox as well. We love hearing feedback.
And now we've come to my favorite part of the show. We're about to share a story that is truly unbelievable. Actually, this today has been filled with stories like that. Anyway,
no.
Yet, did I say yet? Yet. You know it must be true because...
You can't make this stuff up.
Okay, this is from the Huffington Post. A Florida driver with a screaming wife on his car roof faces charges.
This reminds me of that reminds me of Vacation, the movie Vacation.
Yeah,
they strapped Grandma to the roof. Of course, she was dead.
Well, she's screaming, so she's not dead in this case. All right, Richard Addy, 69, allegedly drove at least 6 miles before he was pulled over. Police say his wife was screaming and banging on the roof of his car, and still a Florida man drove more than 6 miles before being pulled over. Richard Addy of Palm City, Florida, was arrested last week in Stewart after a night of drinking. You think?
Yeah.
A night of drinking with his wife. Treasure Coast News reports, I've been doing this job for over 20 years, said police captain Brian Bazio, and I've never seen anything like that before. Except maybe in the movie Vacation.
Right.
The 69-year-old man allegedly told the officer that he and his wife had gotten into a spat after drinking at a couple of bars, and he decided to leave without her.
Nice.
It wasn't until he was stopped at a traffic light that he said he heard her banging on top of his Toyota Sequoia, according to the police report. Instead of helping her down, Addy allegedly told police that he continued driving because he, quote, did not have a cell phone to call the police, unquote.
Okay.
Okay, some questions.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Why was his wife on top of the roof to begin with?
Well, he left her at the bar, and she probably ran out there frantically when he was leaving the parking lot and jumped on top of the rig.
I wonder how old she is, because if he's...
Well, that's a good point.
When he's 69.
She's spry for her.
Yeah, she's going to run out there with her walker.
Because,
pole vaulted off the walker on top of the Sequoia.
And then thought, well, I didn't have a cell phone to call the police. Why couldn't you just got out and helped her down? Why do you need to call the police?
Well, you know, you're drunk. Those things don't occur to you,
apparently,
buddy.
Not.
Listen, can you imagine tooling down the road
and you
see the Sequoia coming down the road at you? This woman on top of it, banging her fists on the top of the rig.
Kind of fortunate he didn't try to get her off by, like, you know, taking off real fast from a stop sign.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oof. That would not have been good. But
happy that she's not
hurt. Would have been really upset.
Would have been kind of fun to get some cell phone video out of that.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt. Well, there's got to be dash cam. There's got to be.
I hope we'll need to look for it, but I'm sure a lot of police have those cameras now.
Yeah, right.
So we gotta look for that, because that would be just kind of hilarious to find.
Well, yeah, but by the time they got there, they pulled him over. She was still on top of the roof. Yeah
so they
didn't think about that.
So we might have some gold. If we find this, we'll put it up on caffeinatedthoughts.com.
Send your You Can't Make This Stuff Up ideas to story@caffeinatedthoughts.com, and we'll give you the credit or the blame if we use your suggestion on the show.
Probably the blame. This is Shane Vanner with Brian Myers. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Take care.